Now we turn to page 223, which is our other bits and pieces of rate anomalies. Who would like to proceed? Councillor Hutchinson, as printed. Councillor Crossland. Councillor Hutchinson, would you wish to include that? Yes, the mover is happy to accept that as part of the motion. So we'll just get that. If you could, Councillor Crossland, get that up to your and Councillor Hutchinson's satisfaction on the screen. Seems all right. Wish to speak further, Councillor Crossland? Anyone speaking against the motion? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. Okay, we're done with the budget. Now, page 230, Oakland's Stage 2 Oakland's Recreation Pass, and I welcome members of the Oakland's Estate Residents Association in the gallery. Now, I haven't seen detailed design of the rotunda. The report indicates it will be communicated through ward briefings. Have ward councillors seen it?
No, we haven't really had a ward briefing. There was a mishap last time.
It may be on the way.
But look, to answer your question, in terms of the rotunda, and I think that's the point, the focal point of what you're talking about.
Well, just on that question, yes. I just wanted to know if you'd seen the design or not.
It is, you know, in round terms, a classical Federation rotunda with a what's the term? Cupola.
Cupola.
Tourette. Is it Tourette? No. I don't know. But anyway, look. You know, it looks like what we want.
I know the type that I like. That's the Francis Ford Coppola.
We can put some gunshot wounds in it if you like. Look, essentially, that was the main point of our concerns and the community's concerns.
Can I just add to that, since I'm starting to wander off the topic now, but could we consult the Marion City Band about the rotunda? Because I'm just slightly concerned that there's no railing at all around the outside, and I think that it might actually be appropriate for the band for there to be some railing for when they set up, etc.
Just talking to this, Mr. Mayor, I have a personal belief that the community don't understand the ping pong table, which I first saw in Mornington City, the Mornington Council area, and in fact that ping pong table was used so much that there was actually a hole at each end where the earth had been moved away. So people do bring their bat and ball.
Councillor Hull, since you've opened your mouth, do you want to move the motion?
Well, that's what I originally put my hand up for, Mr.
Oh, good. Sorry, I missed that.
Yeah. So that's what I'm talking to.
Yeah, you are. Good.
Yeah. But anyway, I think in due course, Mr. Mayor, the community will realise that the ping pong table will be in order. But at this stage, we're hearing what the community wanted, and they're getting an extra bench or something instead of the ping pong table.
Picnic table and chairs, I hope.
Picnic table and chairs. So be it. And look, you know, this is one of the nice things to actually vote on. It's, you know, I've got that buzz that Councillor Pfeiffer had when he voted to increase the open space and the amenity in his ward with Jouvard Street. You know, this is right up. This is one of the goodies. And look, it is another chapter in a great site. We've already done the skateboard or The name for it is something different to that, the Recreation Plaza at the front. And this is an extension of that. It's the completion, really. I didn't want to see the roundhouse go. I noticed in the report that's picked up that community, sections of the community are not happy about the roundhouse going, but it's gone now. There is a couple of big piles of toxic waste sitting there. I'm not sure what it is, but hopefully that'll go soon. You know, after that comes everything south of there, south of the wetland, to actually upgrade that and to really make this the special place that it is. I really have to actually take this opportunity to give credit to the volunteers that work on the revegetation process down there with the biodiversity corridor. That is just as much a part of it. It's in the report. I hope those people are reassured that their quest to do that is acknowledged by council, backed up by council, and very much a part of this setting. And whilst everybody might not have got exactly what they wanted, generally speaking, and the public, I have to commend the staff on their public consultation process. On this site, it hasn't always been perfect, but this time they've come close to actually nailing that, and that's picked up in this report. It's all detailed in the report. There's some interesting comments in there, which I won't repeat tonight, because it might offend. But anyway, I move the motion.
Councillor Pryor.
I'm definitely of the same view. I think the consultation was done quite well, and I think that the feedback of the community has been taken on board, and we've made a few little changes, which is good to see. I think it's going to be really good to finish this area off. I mean, the area is a nice area as it stands at the moment. I think finishing it off it really is going to set that off as one of the premier destinations in the city, in the premier ward, from what I understand as well. Importantly, there's another toilet going in. I think that's incredibly important for the area if we're trying to support those numbers of people. And I think from the community consultation, we probably need to look at a way to mitigate graffiti. I'm not sure how we're going to do that. That probably needs some thought going forwards. And it's good to see we've looked at some provision for extra seating as well.
Thank you. Ms. Dixon, to comment?
Through the Chair, just want to clarify that the provision of a toilet isn't part of this works, but is part of the playground works, which will be coming back to Council in July. Yep.
Might have to cross your legs for a little bit longer. Councillor Gard.
Yes, Your Worship, I would like to get on your bandwagon, actually, and just ask if it's a very good question, I think, on your part, as to whether the band has been consulted about the actual dimensions of the rotunda, because they're sure to be using it. Will it be big enough, wide enough, etc., high enough, etc.?
Let me be an instrument of thy will. Ms. Dixon, what do you say to that?
Through the Chair, they haven't been consulted yet, but it's an excellent suggestion. We'll follow it through.
Right. Councillor Crosson.
Thank you, Your Worship. Similar vein questions. Look, I'm great to see this happening. Two questions are we at the stage now where we won't get any grant funding towards this these funds? And the second question is, I know we are having power supplies, so we can have a pop-up cafe and things like that. Can we just make sure that we have got sufficient power both for a rotunda and for multiple pop-up cafes? I've been interstate and they often have several things happening, and it's great to have that power available rather than generators.
The report refers to the fact that a substantial grant has been sought. But as to the electrical wiring, what can we say about that? I know it's something that we've talked about from the beginning. We want to make ample provision.
Through the Chair, our provision for the electrical services is being made at the rotunda, and there is also sufficient power capabilities for food carts, etc., at other parts of the site.
Councillor Westwood.
Has there been any consideration, I'm sorry if I've missed it, given to acoustic design of the rotunda?
The acoustic design probably comes in the surrounding mounds, I would have thought. But Ms Dixon or Ms Quaterham?
Through the chair, acoustic design specifically no, not at this stage, but there has been thought and consideration given as to the surrounds in terms of mounding and areas for people to gather around that particular rotunda and seating space and gathering space in the open space itself.
I might suggest that that actually becomes part of the design specifications. Thank you.
If there are no more questions, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, it's carried by majority. Thank you. Page 259. This is just a progress report. Obviously, some further investigation being done. So let's dispatch with it quickly. Councillor Telford moved. Seconded. Councillor Crossland. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, that's carried by majority, oddly enough. Now, Edwardstown Oval on page 260. Now, I'll be looking to Councillor Pfeiffer. He's got his hand up. But I would just like to note that I had discussions with our in-house architect today about the notion of making the semi-enclosed area at the northwestern corner of the structure an enclosed built form so that the bowls club members could have effectively an internal space of something like 40 plus 70 plus 80, more than ample for their afternoon tea events and even the occasional country carnival celebrations. As things stand, that would be somewhat difficult with the proposed semi-enclosed area. So I don't know if you've considered that, Councillor Pfeiffer, in the motion that you're going to move. I think you have, so over to you.
Thank you, Your Worship. I had a similar conversation myself. So, look, Your Worship, there's a motion there which is about to get dropped in, and I'll just check it as it gets dropped in. Yeah, that's correct. That's the correct version. Thank you. Sorry, there's been a few versions knocking around during the day today, so
that's
right. I just had to double check.
Just while people are taking that in, because I don't think I've seen it before, but it is really pleasing to note that not only were the survey results extremely supportive of what we're doing in general terms, but it was great to see so many young people answering the survey. Very often there's a preponderance of over 70s, etc., but to have over half under 55 is actually quite an achievement in survey terms.
And I'm feeling my thunder being evaporated as you speak, sir.
Well, handball back to you, Councillor Pfeiffer.
Thank you, Worship. Look, I also acknowledge 304 respondents to our survey, and it was actually a very short survey period as well that it was open for. And 304 is an incredible result. It's almost a 7% response rate, which for a council survey is incredibly good. And I'll note also in there that we've got 80% of our community in favour, either strongly in favour or in favour of the designs that we've put forward, which again is a tremendously good response. Look, thank you to staff for undertaking this particular community consultation. I think I possibly gave a few staff members a bit of an ear bashing a few weeks ago about actually getting this this consultation up and running. Thank you for listening and thank you for going ahead and doing it. I think when you're spending $8 million worth of community money, whether it be local government money or federal government money, when you're spending $8 million, you really need to make sure that your community is very much very, very much agreeable to what you're doing. Look, I think we've done our homework in terms of the demographics. We've done our homework in terms of the numbers. All of that's been done through the Section 48s and everything else, and the original NSRF funding application. That homework's been done. This is the final piece of homework, and this is the actual social licence to go ahead and do it. When you're getting that sort of response, this is the social licence that you've now got in place. Your Worship, as you foreshadowed, I also had a similar conversation in regard to that semi-enclosed space with our staff, and actually in closing, I believe that adds about 40 extra square metres and comes with an extra $40,000 or so in terms of price tag. So it's not exorbitant for the extra space that you're getting. Your Worship, just a minor side note on this. One of our staff very kindly today sent me a copy of a plan for Edwardstown Oval from 1931, which was 11 years after the community purchased the piece of land. It's an incredible drawing to actually see. It's really amazing to look at. What we're doing here with this particular design is getting back to the intent, the original intent of this piece of land. It is a memorial. It is a memorial to the 206 people from our local community who went off to the First World War. And it brings it back to that community focus. It's a community piece of land. It's owned by the community. The community pays for this development. The community pays for the upkeep and the maintenance of this development. It's a community facility, and it's a community facility for the whole community. And that is really bringing it back to that original intent. And when you look at the 1931 drawing, yeah, it's quite different from what we're doing now, obviously. But it really does take it back to that intent. And it's a fantastic thing to see. Thank you.
I don't wish to steal anybody's thunder, so I'll stay silent.
Thank you for your modesty on this occasion. Councillor... well, we're voting. Question?
I have a question.
Oh, sure.
It's only with regard to the solar. This looks like a sizeable development, $8 million, and 40K is a very small number. I don't know where 40K came from. I know in the report that it says 20 kilowatts of solar. Do we have some numbers behind that? Can we support more? Can we support... I mean, where did that number come from, I guess, is my question.
Through the chair, so we engaged a consultant to advise on what was suitable for the building, and that's what's been advised, so the 20 kilowatt, and it's estimated 40,000.
Councillor Hull.
Mr Mayor, the question was asked, may have been Councillor Pryor, a few days back, as to... when is this council going to actually really do the solar thing well? In other words, not only have $40,000 worth of capture, but also equally storage. When are we actually going to venture into the stewardship of having a community facility that has the modern trend, the modern technology, to do not only capture but also storage? You know, when is the first council building going to have that ability? Only a few days ago we had a generator plonked out here in the car park, taking up a car park. But we're focusing on this day-to-day solution stuff, but we're not actually thinking about going forward, setting an example, providing stewardship, and setting this club up to also succeed with the benefit of solar capture and solar storage. So I'd like to know, why aren't we using this project, this greenfield, almost, well, it's a brownfield site, but a new building, to actually do this, to actually do it when we're actually constructing and have it embedded in our thinking with this building?
Ms Dixon.
Through the chair, the the solar panels was developed in response to a council resolution to explore the costs and include that in the design process, which we've done. I suppose in response to the battery power, it is, as councillor, it is an emerging technology, but it is something that will become part of energy efficiency in buildings. So if council wanted to explore that, we could do some more investigations into that matter. But at this point, we were responding to the resolution that had been passed.
Mr. Mayor, is it possible that council does explore that? The City of Adelaide are giving grants to businesses to do this. Like, it's not exactly breaking news. It's not exactly... exactly a revelation.
Councillor, look, a lot of us would be sympathetic to what you're putting forward, but bearing in mind it's within the last 2 years that we embarked on, that we discovered solar panels in the City of Arran. Less than 2 years since we discovered solar panels, and now you're talking about the next phase of technology. I'm very sympathetic to it, but, you know, we need to roll out solar panels and...
Fair, Mr. Mayor, with the previous regime, previous mayor, I was bringing it up on a regular basis. It's more of the same from me. Some of the councillors around here would remember that and would not.
Well, we're starting to really get off the track. But bring back an appropriate motion about developing the installation of batteries, etc., please, at another time. Rather than, we certainly don't want to hold up this development. We've got a very strict deadline for it. Another time. Councillor Pryor, then Councillor Telfer.
Yeah, can the report on batteries include a revision of the solar provisions as well? Because solar provisions by themselves work differently to solar provisions with batteries, so we might as well cover the whole thing. Thank you.
Councillor Telfer.
In the Soldiers' Memorial Garden, why can't we have roses along the fence lines? Because Ross roses were involved in very early in the planning of these, and they have a sense of place for this area.
As I understand it from the report, we're really going to be leaving the Soldiers' Memorial Garden last, and it'll be revisited. Is that right, Ms. Dixon?
Through the chair, we will be planting the rose bushes along the boundary, as Councillor Telfer did it. I could also add that we've done some work and we'll be able to tag the original rose bushes that are there that have significance in heritage and replant them in the new design. So we're addressing that concern.
Oh, well, just for my benefit, I thought that... because of funding constraints, we're going to come back to the question of the garden. But is there news on that?
Through the chair, in the report it talks about some delayed works, which is the shelter in the memorial garden and also the ramp that goes up to the surrounding loop path. But we will retain the rose bushes, and we will also be refurbishing the gates.
Okay, good. Any more, then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? That is carried by majority. Thank you. Now, it's a wonderful achievement. It's a great project, so well done to all concerned. Page 327 we get to, and Councillor Byram, this is really just one of those check-in reports. Yes, Councillor Byram.
Yes, I'll move it, the recommendation as written. But I'd also like to state that next Tuesday night at the Infrastructure Committee, we are going to be looking at that in preparation for when it comes back in August.
I thought it was a perfect item for the committee, even though I realise that there's a lot on the plate for that committee. Councillor Westwood, you're seconding? Lovely. Anything further? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. On to page 328, Glandore Laneways Traffic Controls. Got one councillor leaving the meeting, and I've got Councillor Pfeiffer to move.
Thank you, Your Worship, and there would have been another point come through to administration today. Point three. Yeah, it's just point three that I've changed.
Just while that's coming up, how can...
Well, precisely. Thank you, Your Worship. Look, this is all pretty logical. This one tonight, it's just the traffic management within the Glendale laneways. So it's, you know, where, as we would have seen the email from Mr. Lyons today, construction is chugging along very nicely at the moment, very well, in fact. This is setting the actual traffic provisions for once the laneways open, and setting it as one-way roads and the direction of those one-ways. The point three you'll note that I've added at the bottom is to investigate the need for the provision of parking controls within the Glendale laneways. It's pretty darn obvious that we need that when we're talking about a very narrow one-way road. That's only just the width of a car, effectively. You kind of need some no-standing zones along there, which haven't as yet been provided for. I have spoken with a community member this afternoon about potentially looking at speed limits down there as well. However, we're going to suck it and see and see how it works out in the first little while, and we'll possibly come back to that in time if necessary. Thank you, Richard.
Thank you. Seconded, Councillor Kerry. Thank you for your contribution.
That's right. I'd just like to thank Councillor Pfeiffer for all his hard work on this issue.
Well done. Anyone speaking against or questions? And I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you very much. Page 334. What's left of our service review program? Yes. Councillors? While we're waiting for someone to consider how to move that, I note that the parking service review, that's something that staff are going to do some work on, bring back to us in a forum at some stage to report on that. So it certainly was, that was a very valuable review to have been done. Yes, I am. Councillor Pfeiffer, you're on fire tonight. Moved. Seconded, Councillor Telfer. Any other contributions? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? It's carried by majority. Thank you. Trot Park. Now, you'll recall this item last time. We did not except that the report be noted, which normally means that the decision-making body has to do something with the item, whether it's to go ahead, stop, or whatever. So now is the moment of truth. What are we going to do with this? You've got your three options. Councillor Byram.
Thank you, Worship. I wasn't at the council meeting when this first came up, and staff did ask to have a talk with me about this since then.
That's a worry. What have you got to say now?
I just wanted to raise the fact that I don't see this, I'm discussing this with the staff, we don't see this now as a standalone project, that it needs to be considered for the whole of the Trott Park area, in that this is a suburb that is needing something done for it. But I don't think we want to have just one little project that's an art project. We want to look at how it's going to fit with streetscaping, how it's going to fit with what's happening on Majors Road and making that a sporting precinct, all the other things that we can do to reinvigorate this area. So I am going to propose that we do option one, so that we can continue scoping project for this area, but that it's not to be a standalone project, it's to be incorporated in with other things that could be done within this area, that we really look at what is needed for the Trott Park area.
Okay, look, it's basically a dormitory suburb,
yeah.
And maybe we should just accept that. People sleep there, they go out to work, they go out to shop, they come back. So I think they probably want more Denise Drysdale than Russell Drysdale, but anyway, that's moved. Councillor Byram, seconded. Councillor Westwood.
I thought John Olsen was more famous for his barefoot skiing.
Yes, well, you know, he made it to the top and then came back to South Australia. Councillor Crossland.
Thank you, Your Worship. Look, we were pretty lukewarm to this before. My concern, again, is... I've asked these questions before where staff are able to find this magic pot of money that we don't seem to have access to start these projects and then continue with them. I do realise that this was at a hold point where we were going to look for external funding to go forward with it, but I do wonder where the initial money came from, because I've repeatedly being told it doesn't exist.
Councillor Crossland, are you mixing your metaphors? Is your magic pot a combination of the magic pudding and a pot of gold?
I'm going more towards the pot of gold.
Yeah, okay, well maybe you're right. Would one of the managers like to answer that? Mr Lyons.
Councillor Crossland, I may need to ask Liz to come forward for this, but there is no magic pot. But there... sorry, Edward. But we do have a certain amount of money in the budget to dedicate to art projects, and that's what the Arts and Culture team does, and this was one of their projects. So it is within the budget, and they have a small amount of money. It's not significant. Liz might be able to help me on that, that they spend on art projects.
I want my street to be named Rodin Avenue, and then we can have lots of statues from Paris lining it.
I'm a bit worried we're going to get loads of rubber birds on all my road signs.
Sorry, does that answer your question, Councillor Crossland? I mean, Mr Lyons' answer.
No, I would like to know what the budget is that they're available to spend on projects.
Ms Byrne.
Okay, certainly. Through the chair, yes, there is budgets allocated in the arts and culture to spend on programming. Similarly, we have that in our neighbourhood centre budgets and our library budgets that are spent on programming to engage with the community. That this is something that's in the arts and culture budget that is used for exactly the same thing, to actually spend on small projects to actually engage with the community.
I mean, it's a fair answer, but I'm just trying to think, really, what is the difference between the neighbourhood centres, the different programs they put on, and the arts projects that come out of the arts and culture team? And perhaps the answer is this, that for the neighbourhood centre, most of us have a fair idea of the sorts of programs that are offered. And in fact, every term, or every semester at least, they come out with a little list of all the different things you can do. So it's very upfront. But with some of these projects, they seem to have a life of their own and money spent before council gets to know about it. So maybe that's the difference. What do you think?
Through the chair. Yes, similarly, the arts and culture budget, the programming budget, is also being spent on Friday night about dance movement, which is actually totally booked out, which is actually the Marion Cultural Centre. So that is a program that's being delivered through the arts and culture budget. Very similar. You get feedback and, yeah, we've had a great response from the community that is actually turning up to be exposed to a different variety of cultures such as belly dancing and a few other things. It's been advertised through social media and so forth and through the Messenger, great article in there as well. So very similarly spent on programs to engage with the community in an arts concept.
All right. Well, with this Trot Park one, have there been any members of the community asking for the highlighting, or you know, of Australian painters, because the streets are named after Australian painters?
Through the chair, not directly, but several years ago when we were doing a community capacity building project at Trott Park, which involved a number of things with the neighbourhood centres, there was a element of being highlighted in sort of saying, well, yes, did we realise staff engaging with stuff? Did we realise the community engaging? Going, no, we didn't. But and so the idea was from, I guess, initiated or brought to our attention a couple of years ago for that, and then so it's actually gotten into this budget with the for programming to actually explore that further, which we have done to this hold point. Now we're seeking further direction from members.
So it's been the... I still have some questions, I think. Councillor Valescu, then Councillor Gard.
The answer to my question, what was the dollar amount?
Well, I don't think you're going to...
The dollar amount for this particular...
No, for the... Really for the arts and culture budget.
Through the chair, not offhand. I'm sorry, I don't have that figure with me this evening, but it is very tiny.
Okay, now, Councillor Valescu.
I'm just curious as to what the opportunities are for external funding. Just from my discussions, there may be the opportunity to get external funding for this project. So if, are you able to explain what those opportunities are and the likelihood, either yourself, Ms. Burns, or Mr. Lyons?
Yes, through the chair, very certainly. There is often a line of sight when the arts and culture team explore these things. Very similarly, we've been quite successful just recently in that team's been quite successful recently in getting $15,000 to contribute to the Hallett Cove foreshore project. So there's often a line of sight. So when we initiate little things like this and spend a small amount of money to explore alternatives and options, there's generally a line of sight for Arts SA funding or Australian Council of Arts funding. So there's always sort of little options around that we can actually see that we would actually seek additional funding from, which means that we're bringing in money to the City of Marion, which then actually benefits our community.
Mr. Skull would like to add something.
Just going back a couple of questions, I don't think we answered it. Some of the tension around this is that we're not communicating with elected members, and especially ward councillors, about the things that are being considered by the arts and culture team with regard to their wards. And so I'd like to make a commitment that anything that's been put up that in the future, we will consult before we move forward any step. And I think that's a critical thing in a relationship that we want to actually enjoy with elected members.
Well, that is a good move. Councillor Gard.
Your Worship, is it possible to speak in favour of the motion, or are we looking for someone to speak against first?
Well, we've just had a mover and seconder, obviously, in favour. Can I just wait for a moment to see if anyone is speaking against. I'll come back to you, Councillor Gard. Councillor Pfeiffer, speaking against?
Yeah, only briefly, but just so I can hear Councillor Gard. Your Worship, look, I will briefly speak. No, seriously, I will briefly speak against this one. But I wish to preface this by saying that I think we need to do more for Trott Park. Now, I represent an area that's a very, very, very long way from Trott Park. Now, aside from Reserve Street Dog Reserve, You know what? I don't hear the words Trott Park in this place very often. We hear Edwardstown. We hear Merino a lot. We hear Alec Cove. We hear Parkon. We hear Morfordville. We hear these suburbs a lot. We don't hear Trott Park. We need to do something for Trott Park. We need to do something for the community and the actual community engagement of Trott Park. Personally, I don't think this is it. This has come from the administration. This hasn't come from the community. It also similarly hasn't come from council. I feel that if we're going to be doing something in this area, it needs to be something that's well considered and has actually either come from us as a body or has come from our community. Look, I'm not going to tear strips off of the staff for putting up this particular opportunity. I think, hey, it's a good opportunity, but at the end of the day, it's a little bit of a tenuous one just because we've got a few streets that are named after painters. The painters never actually came from the city of Marion, mind you. We've got a few streets that back in the 60s and 70s we happened to name after painters. We've also got streets that we named after trees and all sorts of other things as well. I think it's a tenuous link to actually base an arts program on. However, in saying that, I've got you to the members from down south and from that particular ward, you've got my absolute commitment. Find us a community engagement project down there. You've got my support.
Councillor Gard, this has inspired your artistic flair, has it?
It has indeed, yes, Your Worship. I did have a conversation with the management about this last week, and I was very inspired. I believe, from my background experience, that there is not necessarily a direct relationship between socioeconomic and cultural bents. And I think you'll find, for example, a lot of very highly culturally bent people in the far northern suburbs or far southern suburbs. So I don't think we should make any assumptions in that regard. On the other hand, taking a line through what Councillor Pfeiffer has just said, unfortunately Trott Park has been short-sheeted over the years as to extras, in inverted commas. It's also quite a beige suburb, and I think people know what I mean by that. But it's also a beautiful area topographically, and I think it's an area that is really a chance for this great experiment. Notwithstanding the importance of doing something for Trott Park in itself, I actually think that this project, centred in Trott Park, will be a wonderful promotion for our city. I think it's a fantastic opportunity for the city of Marion to do something completely different, very worthwhile, very inspiring, very educative, and I think particularly the young of Trott Park stand to benefit greatly, and the surrounds, Shadow Park, Hallett Cove, etc., because a lot of the communities interchange their families on from suburb to suburb through there, and they spread through that area. I, for one, will certainly visit Trott Park a number of times in order to enjoy what is proposed. So I really commend it very seriously to members. I don't think it's going to be an expensive exercise, considering the visibility of it to the broader community. I think it's actually Australia-wide news that a council should have the imagination to do something like this. And I would certainly want to see it marketed accordingly. So please, members, do not underestimate this one.
Given that there's this pocket of streets that are named after artists, and I do acknowledge that John Olsen is an artist. He wasn't a former premier. But I just wonder if we're actually going to stick to picking up on pockets in the city that have themed up streets, is there any intention to do something with Raja Street, Bengal, a subcontinent theme, Mr. Mayor, maybe? I just wonder where this is all... What? Oh, I think we've just gone too far, but I do wonder where it's going to end. But that's just a question: is there any other areas of Marion that have these unique pockets of themed up street names that are being looked at. Is there anything else in the pipeline?
Look, I'm happy for us to proceed, and I think it's really looking at what the opportunity. When this first came to us, it didn't really strike me as, I made some assumptions about the area. I live nearby, that, there may not be that many people into the great painters that we have in Australia. But I actually think part of it's the educative process. So if I drive down near those streets, I actually think, so Drysdale's actually a painter, Hyson's. So I think it provides us with an opportunity. It provides, I guess, the hook. And that is then we can try to do other things on top of that. And I think that's the important thing. My concern is that something like this could be just something exclusive. It's really only just going to target people that are into the high arts that may, see these paintings anyway, and people involved in that are just really so into the arts and it's all about them. But it's not that. It's the opportunity, I guess, to try to engage other people in other activities. And I think this is where it can work. And I say to the staff on this, it's not much money. It's a very small part of what we do. But rightly or wrongly, it's getting a lot of scrutiny. So we need to make sure that something like this works really well. And on a personal note, I support the arts. I think it's a very valuable part of our society. It's not fostered enough in our society. It's not valued enough. And I think it has great benefits. But I think we've got a society where we just look at the economic return. And even sport gets a lot more interest. But I think the arts provides, another benefit. It's part of who we are as human beings. And even animals, have that creative side as well. That, don't have brains developed in the same way as us. So I think it's a vital part of who we are to be alive. So I'm getting a bit existential, but I think, it is something that is underrated, undervalued in our community. And I don't think that $2,500 is a huge amount of money. So I'm happy to give this a go. And as I said, we hope to see benefits for this far beyond what someone might expect on the face of it. Thank you.
Yes, Appleby Road, Mr. Mayor. Surely the great artist Appleby could be picked up in this as well.
Well, the great taker of points of order.
There's been other descriptions of his work as well, Mr. Mayor.
Yes. Well, why don't we have a constitutional museum? There isn't one in Adelaide, Anyway. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Oh, you want to close it? Sorry, Councillor Byrum. Yes, quite in order. Yes. 3 minutes.
Now, Mr. Mayor, do I...
No, you don't.
...speak as well?
No, you've had your chance, haven't you?
As a seconder.
Oh, okay, 10 minutes later. Okay, you're seconding the motion. Let's just do all of this again. Councillor Westwood, away you go.
I want to say something. Firstly, the point about being initiated by staff, most of the things that we actually have come before us are actually initiated by staff, although I do believe that the communication probably could have been a bit more better or inclusive, but that's by the by. The other thing is that I do see this as more of a social effort, experiment, as well as being artistic. And I think that it will be very interesting to see if in some way there is more interaction with council and the staff that are going to be involved, or whoever, contractors or whoever is doing it, is going to be, it'll be interesting to see how much contact the public actually have and how much involvement the local residents have. I'll be very interested to see. I'll be enthusiastically supporting it. Yes, and I think that it's very worthwhile trying it. Thanks.
Close the debate. If the Mayor hadn't raised this issue and said that it should be brought to council, how far down the track would it have gone before we got to know about it?
I would like, through the Chair, I'd like to think that it had been reported through our work area plan, so lots of staff knew about it. However, I think maybe it would have been when we were successful in obtaining lots of money in a grant to take it to the next stage.
Councillor Byron.
Thank you, Your Worship. It's very easy for us all to take the frivolous side of looking at it because it's an art project, but I do want to take it back to a more serious note. And what Councillor Pfeiffer said about Trott Park, we need to look at this area. So one of the things that I need to point out to you that there is art in this area. The Neighbourhood Centre has art classes. We have a very busy mosaics group that works actively in Trott Park. Speaking to some of these people, they are in favour of the scoping project to see what can be done down there. They are looking at things that could be done for them. The Mosaics group needs to have an area to expand into. They want to be involved in something like this. Maybe some of their Mosaics work could be involved with this project. But I want the scoping project to go through these things and to work out what can be done. So it is a way that we can actually bring some life back into Trott Park, give the people there that feeling that they are being taken notice of and these things are being done. The Mosaics group, they've been shoved into a corner with the men's shed. They're wanting to get some recognition. They're wanting to be able to grow and move, and it is something important there. They're also very keen on the fact of what we're doing up in Majors Road, and they're looking at is there things that we can do around that Majors Road, Morfitt Road to Adams Road intersections there that could have some artwork that will highlight things for Trott Park. It's the only suburb in Australia that has 40 streets named after artists. We have got art stuff happening there within the Neighbourhood Centre. There is the basis of let's scope it, let's find out what could be done by taking this option one and then looking at is there grant projects that we can go and move forward on this. But it needs to be incorporated looking at things as a whole for the suburb, not just as a standalone project.
All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against? That is carried. Thank you. I'm sure the residents of Trott Park will be very buoyed by that result. On to page 343, dogs and cats usually engenders a lot of discussion. But this is pretty routine, really. I mean, because the Act has changed, there need to be different delegations so that staff can get on with doing the sorts of things they normally do. We don't want the Chief Executive to be spending his time chasing rabbits down holes, except for metaphorical ones. Councillor Valescu? Is that seconded? Councillor Westwood, do you wish to speak, Councillor Westwood? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you for that. Very sensible. Now, on to page 355. Nominations sought for member positions of the Stormwater Management Authority. I've heard of two expressions of interest. So they may wish to leave the room. Now, mind you, this is something where we can nominate more than one, can't we? We can nominate all of us if you want to, and then it's up to the political powers that be to decide on whatever basis, who should get the job. So the report indicates that there are two members, is that right? Oh, sorry. So there are two, Councillor Hutchinson and Councillor Pfeiffer, and they've both lodged expressions of interest to management. So there you are, councillors. Just bear in mind that as you move the motion, you may wish to include nomination of Councillor Hutchinson, Councillor Pfeiffer, or both. Councillor Westwood.
I wish to move this motion and include the nominations of the two said councillors, please.
Right. So in paragraph 2, that will include both names. Yes, you have that up on the screen. Excellent. Did you wish to speak further, Councillor Westwood?
The two councillors are extremely capable. I'm sure they'll do, either one of them would do a great job. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Crossland.
Happy to second that way, and I don't wish to speak. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. You might invite the gentleman to come back in. Oakland's crossing campaign on page 359. I would have thought straightforward, but there might be some questions. This is, of course, nothing less than the most successful lobbying campaign in terms of the most valuable infrastructure win the City of Marion's ever had. Anyway, over to you. Councillor Hull?
I just need to ask the question. It is a great result, there's no doubt about that, and credit to the staff involved in the campaign. But like after many announcements by the government, there is jostling for acknowledgement and credit. And it annoys me, and even more so leading up to this next election, with the political advertising that we are paying for. And particularly when, before they were elected, they were lampooning the other mob for doing exactly the same thing. But we are the bunnies paying for it as taxpayers, and I was particularly concerned to see that we actually took the liberty to put a significant ad in the Messenger Press that our ratepayers paid for. So, we've got probably three levels of government involved in this indulgence. I would like to get some feedback from the administration that this will stop, that we won't be paying, we're paying enough as it is for the $5 million. It's a great achievement, but I'm in the business of spending money on the product, not on trying to get some sort of acknowledgement veiled as a thank you to the community. I would like some commitment that this will stop, that we will not be spending more money on some sort of promotion of the council, and that we move on to the real stuff, the stuff on the ground, rather than being a part of this three levels of government spending our money on some sort of back patter.
Councillor, I can help you out there with a suggestion perhaps, because this, we have a regular page, full page, booked in the Messenger, and for as long as I can remember, when council has had a win in some way, whether it's Jervois Street or an infrastructure project, the Cove Civic Centre, etc., there's been publicity about it to celebrate the success. So if you want to do something tangible to save money, perhaps you could move a motion that we cease advertising in the Messenger, because that will, take a lot of this sort of community celebration that you're against. So I invite you to do that at an appropriate time. But I don't know that from the suggestion of one councillor that administration would change the course of decades in terms of the celebration of positive news that is conveyed in the Messenger newspaper's advertising page that we have. So if you want to suggest that, there's nothing wrong with the suggestion, but bring it to council as a motion, and then we can consider it. Councillor Kerry?
Yeah, I'd just like to note that, like most residents of Marion Council, I fully support the concept of creating major change to the Oaklands railway crossing. However, I feel there are a number of concerns that must be addressed, and this council now appears to be part of this partnership, and its contribution seems to be fait accompli.
Sorry, just to check, is this leading up to a question?
I'm just making a point.
Or do you want to move the motion and then
No.
To
I just want
well,
to...
Well, sorry. It has to be one or the other.
Well, I'm just making a point
or
in
relation to... Sorry, if you're not asking a question and you're not participating in the debate, you don't get the chance in this room read things out when you feel like it.
The question,
out of order, Councillor Pryor.
You're trying to gag me.
No, you can come back if you're part of the debate, but not now. Councillor Pryor.
Yeah, look, I'm happy to move as written. It's not very complicated. It's a very simple motion. I would be interested in, however, the contributions from council and state government and federal government as a percentage of their overall budget would be interesting to me, and I don't know who can provide that information off the top of their head, but I can't.
I worked out, as part of this whole exercise, that state budget, I think, is something like about 200 times more than ours, very rough figure. So on that basis, we're contributing quite well. The only thing is that, if you like, the accounting needs to consider the fact that most of that $5 million, assuming that all goes according to plan, will be things that we do anyway. We do roads, we do footpaths, we do reserves, and so on. So it is, in a sense, part of our natural spend. But I don't know if staff have anything to offer in terms of relative levels of government budgets. No? All right. So it's moved. Is that seconded? Councillor Crossland, do you wish to speak?
No, just really to echo, I think, what's already been said, and that's to definitely thank staff and yourself for a great job, and it's a great result for all residents.
Thank you. Now, yes, Councillor Blisku, you're speaking against, or...?
I'd like to speak in favour. I think the important thing to realise...
Well, you can see that we're going to run out of time, that's all. So do members want me to...
I think that the fact that the community was so engaged on this is what has brought it to the fore. If it was not as big an issue in the community and they didn't articulate that, and that was part of what our spending in the campaign brought out, then this may not have happened yet. It could have been another promise for something to happen possibly after the state election. At least we have a firm commitment now. So I think we really need to thank our community for getting behind this, because without them, we wouldn't be in the position we are now.
Sure. Now, Councillor Kerry, if you have a negative tone to offer, this might be an appropriate time to do it.
I just want to make a few facts, state a few facts.
Well, you can contribute to the debate.
I'm speaking against the motion. What is of great concern to me is the means in which Council became involved in this financial partnership. Special General Council meeting was called on the night of Tuesday, the 6th of June, basically to approve a specific motion that Council be given approval to negotiate this specific contribution of $5 million to enable the project to be affirmed. Mayor Hannah was asked to negotiate with the state and federal bodies. No elected member attending this meeting was able to establish any specific information regarding the reason for that meeting taking place, except it had to do with the Oaklands Crossing project. I believe that at least seven members present contacted the CEO beforehand, and they weren't able to understand what was going on. They were sworn to secrecy. The motion was distributed on paper, and as soon as the proposal was accepted, the papers were collected. I voted against the proposal, not for the funding, but because I believe it wasn't conducted in a democratic and open fashion. The meeting was brief, and by the lack of information presented, limited discussion took place. Councillors were not in a position to make a considered comment. In the interest of maintaining fair governance and any interest in what matters affect ratepayers of Marion, I found it incredulous that a special meeting should be conducted where all information be withheld beforehand. I'm greatly concerned that the motion paper was so quickly collected. This later point was unusual and should have caused concern and suspicion by all those present. In the interest of maintaining honesty and integrity, I'd question the discussions with Mayor Hannah had with the said partners prior to the special general meeting. As a result of the special motion being passed, it gave Council authority to proceed with discussions. Two events took place the very next morning. Yes, the very next morning. The Adelaide Advertiser carried an article stating that the project was going ahead and named Marion Council as one of the partners and that its contribution would be $5 million. Would Mayor Hannah please explain what discussions he had after the special general meeting with the other two partners in the few hours before the newspaper went to print? Any public media presentation takes time to organise, and yet one did take place the very next morning after the special general meeting. Can Mayor Hannah explain how the various representatives will still be able to be present at such very short notice? It seems to me necessary arrangements were already in place before our special general meeting, and I asked Mayor Hannah to tell us when the arrangements were finalised. If that is so, why wasn't it presented to the members present? I further asked Mayor Hannah why the general notification of the development matter was not communicated to the appropriate ward councillors. This is not accepted council policy. What is of great concern to me is the means by which council became involved in this financial partnership. At this stage, it's unknown what the implications are of the $5 million financial operations of the council and what actual implications are for the residents of Marion in terms of probable rate increases and loss of reduction of certain council services. I still couldn't get a straight answer tonight.
Your time is up, councillor. Thank you. Well, you've raised a few good questions there. Look, the special general meeting was held under confidential circumstances for good reason. And if you refer back to those sections of the Local Government Act, you'll understand better why it took place that way. As I indicated on the night, I think, and I can say now, I was intimately involved in the negotiations for this deal. And that involved having confidential discussions with both state and federal ministers. And it's not uncommon that deals occur like that. It is important that a mayor in that position report back. However, as I said on the night, only weeks before, when the federal government budget came out, the money for Oaklands Crossing was not there in this year's budget. There was no deal at that point. So it's only in the intervening period that something became possible. The fact is that if I'd gone to state and federal ministers and said, look, if you're working something out, it's just between you, me, and my elected members, very simply, I would be excluded from the conversation. That's the harsh fact. Why? Because we know from among these councillors there have been leaks to the media about very sensitive material. And I'm not going to be complicit in a breach of trust to state and federal ministers, because there's the risk that one of our number can't be trusted with sensitive information. It's not as if the special general meeting came out of the blue. There has been this open Oaklands Crossing campaign. We had allocated money towards publicity. We were all agreed that we wanted a campaign for the Oaklands Crossing to be fixed. And it was understood that the Mayor was at the forefront of speaking for Council to achieve that objective. And, as it turns out, that objective was achieved. And there were several staff who played a role in supporting my efforts. Craig Clark, Stephen Hooper, John Valentine, all allowed me to have the information I needed at critical times. It had to be a very focused effort, and I reported as much as I could when I could, and that was the purpose of the special general meeting. And I'm grateful that the majority of councillors had confidence that I would be able to deliver something with the support that I was given that night, and that's how it transpired. So that won't answer all of Councillor Kerry's concerns, but I hope it sets a bit of context.
So can I just ask, when did you become aware of the agreement that was finally reached between the federal and state bodies?
No, I'm not going to breach the confidential order that was resolved by this council, so I'm not going to go into that. Well, I know what you're asking, and I've answered the question. So... Now, it's regrettable, of course, that ward councillors weren't taken under some special umbrella of confidence. And I appreciate Councillor Kerry's effort to cause a division between the Mayor and those ward councillors, or exacerbate a division. But, you know, I did what I needed to do to get the deal done, and I told councillors as much as I could when I could. I can honestly say that. Councillor Hull.
Now, I'm going to ask a question. I'm not going to go down that track. I've said what I needed to say at the time. There's no point in going over that again. But, look, one thing I must say, in terms of the contributors to this campaign, or the funding, I should say, is that this was a state government project. It is a state government project. The federal government need not have put anything in at all because it's not a national freight line, but they did. Mr. Mayor, I really want to see credit where credit's due. And I'm no particular fan of this particular MP, but look, Corey Wingard did send me evidence that this was always in the federal budget, and I've sent that to Jamie Thwaites a few minutes ago. It was a communique from Baronia Morrison, the Chief of Staff for the Office of the Honourable Paul Fletcher, and it actually has the extract of the particular budget line. It's very clear to me that it was in the federal budget, and I think their claim is valid. Their claim is valid that they did have it in the budget. I've got evidence it's here with the reference in the budget.
I've read the federal budget, the relevant lines as well. There's a large sum of something like $275 million for rail in South Australia for the financial year. That says nothing about Oakland's Crossing. But what the infrastructure minister, not the roads minister, Paul Fletcher, but the infrastructure minister published was a year-by-year contribution amount, and that specifically mentioned Oakland's Crossing, and it had the figure of $12.2 million for this coming financial year. $12.2 million wasn't $40 million. That was the point of a controversy about the federal budget. The fact that the amount was there in the longer term wasn't really the dispute. Yes. It was about specified for this year.
We can be piecemeal about that, but 12.2 is correct in the 17-18 budget. But
that's what I just said.
From the 2020 to 2021, because I didn't think it was obviously going to happen in that year, there's $40 million there quite clearly.
There's no dispute about that.
Well,
but it wasn't in this year's budget, but now it is. Do you see that?
Well, I think that is a bit of licence, Mr. Mayor, to be frank.
Well, okay. I think we've had the debate. If there are no more questions, no more rain on the parade, Councillor Valescu?
Claim credit for it, not us, but the levels of government. You've got two different parties in power at both. So what were the actual risks of this not happening?
Well, it's actually quite extraordinary that Liberal and Labor got together to make this happen. I mean, if you had parties in state and federal of the same complexion, it would maybe be easier to understand. But it's quite extraordinary that Liberal and Labor have actually got together. And it was only after a lot of name-calling and baiting and finger-pointing along the way. So all of that could have continued right through to the next state election quite easily, I suppose. But that's a different history. Anything further? Well, we have a mover and seconder. I think I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That's all those against? Carried by majority. Thank you. At least everyone gets their fair say around here. Page 362 is the finance report, and page 376 is the work health and safety performance report, so they could be taken on block. Well, I've given you the call and you've moved it. Councillor Crossland, seconded. All those in favour? All those against? I declare that carried. But if you'll excuse me, I shall take my leave and I'll ask the Deputy Mayor to take over.
That'll teach me. Okay, so I think the last thing we had was a suggestion that we move the next two reports on block, so the finance report and the workplace health and safety report. Can I have anyone to move that, please? Councillor Telfer, thank you. And anyone to second it? Councillor Byram. Councillor Telfer, do you want to speak? Question, Councillor Hall.
With lost time injury frequency rate compared to last year, are you happy with the trend that is exhibited in the graph on page 377?
Thank you, Chair. I'm absolutely delighted, but I'm not happy where we're landing because I still think there's some improvement that we can make. But the efforts that staff have made, especially Mr. Lyons and Mr. Allen and all the outside workforce, have been extraordinary with the help of the risk team. So I'm happy with the trend. I still think that we can do better because of the work, nature of the work we do.
Any further questions? Councillor Fife.
Just a brief one, thank you, Your Worship. When you look at page 377, I note that there has been one additional lost time injury during the course of May. When we look at at page 377 and the list of the six, sorry, there's only five LTIs listed there, not six, which it says we've got six, but there's only five listed. What is the six? There's two repetitives under point three, I'll see your point. Which was the most recent one, the May one?
So, members, the answer is number five, the trip on uneven ground.
And any other questions for any other members? Councillor Hall, another question?
Just in regards to streetscaping, the progress with streetscaping, is there any way possible that the streetscaping budget can be expended in just a few days?
Mr. Lyons, to answer that one.
Through the Chair, Councillor Hull, generally I think we've been able to provide some stunning results for the capital program and for the carryover result, which is going to be the best result that we've had for about 4 years. The stunning news does not include streetscapes, I'm afraid. And you'll recall that you allocated $500,000 to be spent this year. That covered two projects, one at Charles, one at Ramrod. We are on track to significantly complete Charles. We have had a setback with our Ramrod contract in that we're about to let that contract, and for a couple of reasons we became concerned about the contractor's ability to deliver, and we actually decided not to let the contract, and we are re-tendering. So that's disappointing, but it's also part of programming and capital works, and unfortunately that portion of that work will be carried over.
Thank you, Mr. Lyons. And Councillor Carey.
I asked this question beforehand, but it wasn't answered. It was effectively answered by the Mayor, so I'd ask Vinnie Vincent Nusser, our finance director. In terms of the $5 million that was
spoken... So, Councillor Carey, can I stop you there? Because that's not actually part of these two motions.
Well, I'm just asking the question, where's the $5 million that we've...
Well, thank you, but it's not part of these questions. So, thank you, and you won't be answering those questions. Has anybody got any other questions with regards to these two motions? No, in that case, Councillor Telfer, would you like to speak again on these? In that case, can we put the motions, all those in favour? Majority. Thank you. And then we'll just note Councillor Kerry's question on page 378, again regarding the Oaklands Crossing. And then we'll move to the motion on 380. Councillor Hull, your motion regarding the Land Titles Office. Would you like to move that motion?
I would, Mr. Deputy Mayor. I think my comments captures the purpose of this motion. I welcome Heather Mitchell's, our officer's comments. That actually provides me with information I wasn't aware of in regards to the concerns of a considerable concern from those entities that are respected agencies in regards to this. So I'm chuffed to see that I'm not alone with this this thought. The costs, the privacy, the efficiency that we've just so become accustomed to as part of the fabric of our community could be well and truly eroded by a rash privatisation measure by the South Australian Government. A South Australian Government, by the way, that came to office with a promise, and this is going back to their original election, of no privatisation. They've failed us on that on numerous occasions. The Motor Action Commission was the last one. And unfortunately, the cynical outlook on this, Mr. Deputy Mayor, is that it's a continual trend to try and balance their budget by selling off these assets year after year. There's one every year in recent years to balance their budget. And in this case, for local government, this is a very counterproductive step, big time. And we should be resisting this, and I so move.
Thank you. And do we have a seconder for that motion? Councillor Valescu, do you want to speak to the motion? Do I have anyone speaking against the motion? If no one speaking against, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That's carried by unanimously. Okay, we'll move to page 382 and the quality assurance motion by Councillor Gard. Councillor Gard, would you like to move?
Yes, I do, Deputy Mayor. There is an amendment that I have put through for this motion. Just wait for that to come up on screen, probably.
While we're waiting for that to come up, Councillor Gard, I believe I probably should ask for a seconder first. Councillor Westwood seconding. Sorry, Councillor Gard, carry.
Can I ask a question?
Ask away.
Yeah. In terms of the formal management procedure and quality assurance, could Councillor Gard be referring to an ISO standard, or is there an example of what particular model? There's a number of quality assurance models out there in the business world. I'd just like to know if there is any particular model that he's looking at.
Perhaps if
administration have a suggestion.
Perhaps if we wait for Councillor Gard to move the motion, and maybe that could form part of his explanation. Otherwise, I'll hand over to Mr. Lyons.
Can we have it?
Deputy Deputy Mayor, if I just as a way, by way of prelude mention that I have had a meeting with management, and that's what prompted the adjustment, let's say, of this motion. The context of the motion remains the same, but having regard for new information that I received, this rendition makes more sense. So if we can just bear with the typist, it'll be there in a moment. As to say, the substance of my discussion paper is in keeping with my personal observations in general. Oh, sorry, that's the opening. Yep.
Councillor Guy, have you got the motion in front of you that you could just read out?
My apologies, Deputy Mayor. I haven't. It was put through electronically, and I think it's all about to hit us. So the City of Marion review the measures needed for quality assurance in each aspect of its operations, and that the General Manager Operations report his findings to Council by the end of October. So it's pretty much the same. So if I could have my 3 minutes start now, is that possible?
Please do, Councillor Gard.
Thank you. This has prompted a glancing answer to Councillor Hull's question. No particular standards, textbook standards, that I have in mind here, but it's prompted by the fact that we, as a council, we invest a heck of a lot in by way of infrastructure, by the way of buildings, and now we're starting to finesse the beautification of the city. And at this very point, whereas infrastructure and buildings have a separate level of control as to quality and assurance, it's at a professional level, this is more qualitative. And you know, we've been talking about the arts a little bit tonight. I had an anecdote that, you know, Hans Heisen had beautiful landscape ambient paintings, and Prohart flung his paint to the canvas and sometimes rolled in it. And sadly, I'm afraid, even though both are very appreciated forms of art, I think Marion, the city of Marion, reflects more the latter anecdote. I think we tend to fling paint at the canvas all too much. And it's not concerted, it's not beautiful, and there's not one thoroughfare, major thoroughfare, in this council that has a wow factor associated with it. Unlike our neighbours in Holdfast Bay, unlike our neighbours in Unley, unlike our neighbours in the city of Mitcham, and increasingly unlike our neighbours in West Torrens. And probably Onkaparinga, you can add to that list as well. We have to lift our game. And I think with the extra dollars that we're now putting into streetscaping and treescaping, this is the time it must happen. I understand from General Manager Operations that he will be introducing performance metrics, and that is commendable. We also have service review programs. They will help. But I still am a stickler for the fact that managers need to be out there. Our general manager is on record as saying that one of our suburbs was an embarrassment to him. I'm sorry, our CEO was an embarrassment to him. Now, they're not my words. And to me, that is trouble, with a capital T, when you have the residents of that suburb paying a lot of money and getting nothing back. Now, there's more than one area in the city of Marion.
Councillor Gard, you have run out of time, but I will give you the benefit of a couple of seconds if you just quickly want to close.
Thank you. Yes, so what I'm saying is that the elements of anything worthwhile where there's a lot of money spent in development is to ensure quality assurance, assure quality assurance. So it's a tautology in a sense. But Thank you. I believe the steps are in the right direction, and so I'm happy to leave the matter at that, pending what happens in October when a report
comes. Thank you, Councillor Gard. Thank you. And Councillor Westwood, would you like to add anything?
I think if we don't have adequate formal procedures for quality assurance, I think that is probably a good idea, because then there is some kind of feedback and an implement or instrument of control. So I'm happy to have this here. In particular, I hope that it'll just generate at least a review of the situation, and if it's found to be adequate and we can be assured of that, then I'm quite happy as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody speaking against the motion or any questions? Well, I see none, so I will put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? And that's carried by a majority. Thank you. And we'll move to, I believe it's 384, and that'll be Councillor Appleby's motion regarding 17 Arthur Street in Plimpton Park, and I believe we have some councillors that declared a conflict as part of the development assessment panel. So Councillor Byram and Councillor Westwood are leaving the room. Councillor Appleby, would you like to move?
Thank you, Worship. Yes, I'll just move the suggested motion by Mr. Tokley. I don't think I need to add much more. He's covered most of the points, except to say that there is a bit of concern in the community in that street, and that I think we should be trying to retain the character of that street as far as possible.
Thank you. Is that motion seconded? Councillor Valescu, thank you. Would you like to speak?
Yeah, look, I'd like to thank my co-councillor for bringing this to the council. I've had several residents from that street contact me with concerns about what's going to happen to the house. They were not aware as to why it was being demolished, and they were very concerned as to the number and nature of the dwellings. So I think that the recommended motion is very, very appropriate. Now, I have spoken to the local member who is aware of the issue. They've had several people contact them and a local state member, and have made representations on their behalf to the minister. I've also spoken to Renewal SA. Their contact details were passed on to the residents that made their concerns felt through email. And I will just take a bit of time just to quickly read the responses. So there was permission asked if this could be passed on, and the person said that they have no problem with that, underscoring that they have not yet commissioned a designer and do not want to preempt the outcome of the work until it's underway. However, they wrote, we confirm Renewal SA's intention to redevelop the housing SA property at 17 Arthur Street, Plimpton Park. We had originally thought to retain the existing dwelling and explore the potential to harvest the rear yard for an additional dwelling, but upon inspection found the house to be beyond economic repair. With Council's recent approval to demolish the existing property, we are now gathering survey and property data ahead of commissioning a design to explain replacement options. A designer's brief will include Housing SA's confirmed need for family accommodation at this location. And I'll just give some context. That block, if it wasn't Housing SA, would only be one dwelling. They do have the option to make them more than one. However, the design brief will confirm need for family accommodation at this location, and the importance to respect the existing residential character of the locality and its streetscape while ensuring the dwelling meets current amenity and accessible standards for public housing. This is likely to result in one single-storey family dwelling being constructed to replace the existing three-bedroom house. They had some concerns about the reservation. So we also responded to our minister received from the local member's office. We are, of course, more than happy to keep both council and residents informed as we progress this project. So just a bit of background. They're not saying definite, but it is quite likely that this won't be subject to...
Councillor Valescu, I appreciate there's no clock, but you've pretty much used up your 3 minutes. If I could just ask you to summarise and finish, please.
That's fine.
Thank you. Anyone speaking against, or does anybody have any questions? Councillor Hull.
Only earlier tonight we deliberated on the broader housing policy, and part of that was the character areas. Now, just a question for Mr. Skull. Correct me if I'm wrong, Arthur Street falls within the proposed character area as submitted to the government.
Mr. Skull?
Yeah, I'm just getting confirmation it's included in the new residential character zone. So yes, correct.
I think that would have a significant bearing on our thinking, because as Councillor Pfeiffer's indicated before, that a lot of damage can be done before planning is implemented, and I think Councillor Appleby might have a point on this one.
Councillor Hull, does that answer your question? Any other questions or anyone speaking against? Thank you, Councillor Appleby. Hang on. It's just minor detail. I think we're nearly there. Have everybody got the one on their iPad? Because that's actually the correct motion. It's the at the bottom of the page where it's in italics, and goes on to 385. So have all members got the motion in front of them? Because I'm not prepared to move on unless everybody's looking at the correct motion on their iPads. Anybody not got that correct motion while it's been typed? In the bottom of the page, it's in italics. That's the motion we're voting on, and if nobody has any other questions, I'm going to put that motion to you. All those in favour? And that's carried unanimously. Thank you. We've got 2 minutes, but I don't think we're going to get to the next item, but can we invite the other members back in? Sorry, Councillor Pfeiffer.
Before you close, can I actually just ask a very quick question about that other item that you can potentially bring back a little bit of extra information to the next council meeting?
Yep, fire away.
Thank you, Your Worship. And I note that, and this is actually a question to you, if that's okay. I note that you were the one who posted notice of this particular one. I note now, the question is, does this funding to finish off the project, which I think is a fantastic thing, does this include any additional provision to deal with the short section of coastal walkway that you showed us on the tour?
No, the foreshore development plan didn't deal with any part of the walking trail, the actual
walking trail from North Haven through to Cape Jervis. It doesn't deal with that at all. In fact, we haven't yet even got, I don't think, drawings. You can put a procedural motion very quickly. Just to the end of this item, is that seconded? I'll put that motion to finish this item. All those in favour? Sorry, put your hands up again. All those in favour? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. All those against? 4. Okay, we'll continue with this item. Sorry, Councillor Pfeiffer, just to answer that question, this is the original foreshore plan that's been consulted on and is as it is on the agenda, but the only part of the coast, if it's confusing, is to reinstate the embankment, which I showed you photographs of probably 2 years ago with all the concrete and all the erosion on it.
So just to clarify now, I'm well familiar with the existing project, but just to clarify, that very short section that you showed us between this development and the actual river, that short section of pathway that needs to be redeveloped, I know that it's not within the scope of this project, but would that be something that you'd be interested in packaging into this? Because I'd be supportive of that.
I definitely will be bringing that to council, but at this stage I don't have sufficient information of design or costing for that, so wouldn't be prepared to add it in until we'd had a good chance to look at that. I think Councillor Telfer was first.
My question is about number 4 on page 387, Playground and Reserve, where it says detailed design 17-18 and 18-19, and that's 200,000 in 17-18 and 18-19 792500, adding up to 992500. Have we assurance that the actual play space will be totally complete after that? Like, I don't have a sense of the cost of the play space actual capital works within that parameter.
Okay, I think that's the area that's going to be started in September and completed in February, but I'll ask staff to answer the question. Who's the best person for that? Thank you.
Through the chair, yes. A report is being brought back to council later this year, August, September time, with the detailed design of the reserve and the play space. It is being designed to the budgeted figure of around $990,000.
So then a corollary.
Yes.
What level play space is that going to be done for the $990,000?
Through the chair, that is a regional level play space.
Councillor Hall.
Mr. Deputy Mayor, I'd like to move the recommendation.
Councillor Hall's moving the motion as recommended. And Councillor Byrom, are you wishing to second that motion?
To speak to the motion, Mr.
You may, Councillor Hall.
Look, I am always keen to see projects completed. There's one in the north of the area that I would like to see completed as well, and it would cost a lot less than this. In fact, it would cost $75,000. This has been talked about during the last council term. It caused a lot of furor. They went about it the wrong way, big time, and I guess our reaction to that probably may have been perceived as by the community as being churlish, is probably one way of putting it, but there was good reason why we took that decision, and the Ombudsman ended up backing us up with his finding. But it's time to finish this. It's time to finish this. It is actually an amenity that the entire city can use because it's our only real viable beachfront for the city, if you wanted to go to the city of Marion to a beachfront. And I just want to see it out of the way. I want to see it ticked off. When I saw this, I thought this is an opportunity. It certainly is for us to tick another one off tonight. It's one of those nights to tick another box. But if I can indulge Mr. Deputy Mayor, with touched by Olivia, if you can have it within you to think about finishing that one off for $75,000, I ask you to take a rain check on that, because I'd like to revisit it if I can just indulge in the essence of actually finishing off something credible. Mr. Deputy Mayor, this is going to be right up there with Jervois Street. It really is, in the south. In the south. And you may well say the Trott Park people don't get much. They'll have access to this, to be fair. Okay? As will the people of Marina. So it is really one big tick in the box for the south. You know, if we can actually approach the next council election with a lot of box ticks, whether we get elected or not, we can actually feel damn proud about what we've done, and from the top of the city to the bottom. And I say move.
Thank you. Councillor Barrow.
Thank you. Yes, I'll support Councillor Hull in what he has said. Let's tick another box here tonight. But if you're saying that it's only for that area down there in going down to the beach, perhaps we should go a step further and put in a rock pool. We'd be the only one in South Australia, and that would be fantastic. They're great interstate, so maybe we think about that for the future. But anyway, looking at hand at what we've got, the coastal dune protection is very important, and we've been each year going for grant funding for it, and it's... when we were asking for pretty much the whole pot, it wasn't going to happen. So we need to get the money to finish this project off. I also want to acknowledge that Councillor Crossland has put in so much work into this. And when we came in into council and doing the staging and talking with staff and getting this all going, he's put in a lot of work. So I really do commend this motion tonight.
Thank you. Anybody have any other questions or anyone speaking against the motion? I did have a fair bit to say, but look, I think it's already been said. Of note is that this gives us the money to still apply for grant funding. It is a good way into the 18-19 budget, but it does give us the benefit of putting it in the long-term financial plan, and also gives us the benefit of actually using staff, our own staff, to do it. And if you remember, we actually put off the amphitheatre and the playground before so that we didn't incur extra contractor costs. So I'm still keen to avoid those costs, but I think it's already been said, and I will put the motion. All those in favour? And all those against? And that's carried by a majority. Thank you. Are we finished? And with that, we'll close the meeting. Thank you very much.